done the work. Amen. Hallelujah. Sheila, it's finished. Woo! Amen. 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 Hallelujah. All right. Well, let's just get right into the Word here this morning. Very familiar portion of Scripture. I think we could all quote it. This is from Psalm 23. Let's just read it and follow along, or you can read it together. It doesn't matter. Verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Let's say verse 4 together. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Title of my message today is "Shut the Door on Fear." Shut the door on fear. Look at somebody and say, "Shut the door." Remember Grandma used to say that? Shut the door, you're going to let the flies in. We'd run out and leave the screen door wide open. It'd get stuck on the front porch. You'd have to go back over there and whop it, make it close back. Shut the door. One of the greatest enemies to the progress and success of every believer is this insidious and destructive spirit called fear. Evil spirits are recognized by what they do, and this demon is no different. So for us to walk in the victory that was already purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ, we must continually shut the door to fear. How many know? Because He's going to come knocking. That's His job. He's going to knock, and if that door is open, He's going to come in. I love this passage of Scripture as it has been and will continue to be an amazing source of comfort and assurance in so many circumstances and situations in people's lives. And in this message, we really want again to zero in on verse 4. Here's what it says one more time. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Literally, when David speaks of the valley of the shadow of death, he's speaking about the terrors that one often experiences when they are standing on the brink of death itself. No doubt in David's running from Saul, he often felt very near to death. And as a result, then, David had learned how to navigate through his fears and how to not just shut the door, but slam the door on his fears. How are we then supposed to slam the door on fear and face the future fearlessly, that when things in our future that promote gender and fear remain the same? In other words, how do I arise above the reality and the possibility of the manifestation of my fears? Let me say this. You can tell someone to not fear or not to be afraid, does that eliminate fear when the fearful things around us remain the same? No. We know it doesn't. To slam the door on fear is not just ignoring the subject of our fears. To slam the door on fear, you have to give someone something greater than the thing that can cause fear. understand with me this morning, that greater thing is the powerful Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. To slam the door on fear, you have to identify it for what it is and what it does. You must consider fear as public enemy number one. And yes, fear is a crippling spirit. It can paralyze folks and neutralize a person. Fear, if it's allowed to, will, as a magnet, pull you toward disaster. Remember, Job said, "The thing that I have greatly feared has come upon me." Fear is destructive in nature because, again, like I said earlier, it is a child of the devil, if you please. Fear is the devil's counterpart to faith. In other words, fear is faith in the devil's power and ability to bring his will to pass in your life. To shut the door on fear once and for all, you have to hate it. You have to hate it. You must see it as the devil trying to rob you of every precious thing in your life. And again, there is no good fear. Fear will suck every ounce of life right out of you. It will drain your soul of hope that things could ever be better. It will wring you out like a dish rag if you let it. And if you don't conquer your fear, it will squeeze every drop of joy out of your life. Would you just tell your neighbor again, today we're slamming the door on fear. Fear is a thief that will rob you again of 1,000 blessings. Fear comes the same way faith does, by hearing words. But fear comes by hearing words that are inspired by the devil. They're never positive. They're always negative. And we find in the Bible where fear robbed a generation of their inheritance. Fear almost took Peter out, one of Jesus' disciples, to a watery grave. Fear can be said is the dark room where negatives are developed. Fear robs the eyes of sight and the heart of hope. In fact, the Bible says that fear has torment. John 1 John 4:18 says it this way: "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love." Fear is a killer. It kills dreams and it kills destinies. It throws a dark cloud of despair over everything good. So it's up to me and it's up to you. It's up to us as individuals. We have to decide that we're going to slam the door to fear coming into our lives. So how in the world are you going to know this? We know that fear has already been defeated. But guess what? He's still at work and he's going to try when there's an open door. Well, let me ask, what do you feed on? Because what you feed grows. I said, what you feed will grow. You have to decide, I will feed my faith and I will starve my fears to death. Sadly, I believe that in many cases that the church at large has done us a great disservice by preaching to us a gospel of escapism. And what I mean by that, it's as though our love for God and our faith in God is going to protect us from going through anything. Listen, I've determined now in my old age to tell it like it is, okay? We don't need any embellishment in the pulpit. That's what some car salesmen do to sell cars, and I hope you're not a car salesman in here. They don't lie, but they embellish real heavy. Let me say it that way. So what we need is the pure, unvarnished truth in our lives. Can you say amen?
Amen.
This then is the truth. Our faith in God and our love for God does not guarantee us that our lives will always be a bed of roses. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. That our lives will always be problem free. Faith in God is no guarantee that you'll never get sick, or that your children will never get on drugs, or that you'll never suffer in your finances. And your love for God and my love for God and faith in God may not affect the gas prices or food prices one bit. Our faith in God does not promise us that we won't have a nuclear war. I don't want to scare you, but I want to be relevant today. We are closer than we've ever been before to World War III. And this one will be a nuclear war that no one will win. The Bible tells us in Revelations that a fourth of mankind will be killed. And with our population right now at 7.9 billion people, we're looking then at some 2 billion people being killed. These are issues that we are facing in our country as I speak. And we then, as children of God, have to learn then how to live in the power and the authority of what God has said. Not what we wish He said or presume that He has said. The truth is, He never promised us that our faith would keep inflation from increasing, or that our faith would close the borders or cut off the flow of drugs into this country. He never promised that you wouldn't have a car accident or a fender bender, or your house wouldn't catch fire, or the earth would not quake under your feet, or a hurricane would never hit your life. I want you to hear the truth today, because I'm not going to stand here and hype you up with a bunch of feel-good words that paint a pretty picture of a perfect world. How many know we live in an imperfect world where everything always turns out wonderful just because you're saved? Well, I don't have to worry about all that. I'm saved, bless God. He's my personal Savior. It's going to be a bed of roses from here on out. That's not the real life. In real life, bad things happen even to good people. But what I am saying today and what I'm going to do is give you some Holy Ghost firepower that will put a fight in your spirit and some steel in your backbone. So that no matter what comes your way, you can look at any situation and say, first of all, it's finished. That no weapon is formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I will condemn it. And you can also say, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. We don't give credit now to that spirit, to the enemy, when it comes in like a flood. So we can say, when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And yes, all things work together for good to them that love God and who are called according to His purpose. Do you understand why we need to know what the Word of God is saying in our lives? We need to stay in the Word on a daily basis. And yes, you are of God, little children, and overcome them. For greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. And then, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You've got to understand with me that Noah's love for God and his faith in God did not keep the flood from coming. It did not keep Joseph from being betrayed by his brothers and being thrown into a pit. It did not keep the three Hebrew children from going into the fiery furnace and Daniel from being thrown into the lion's den. Somebody said, well, Pastor, I thought you were supposed to encourage us. Well, I am. But the difference is this. I want to tell you the truth without sugarcoating or adding any flavor to it. Now, God adds the flavor and the favor. Amen? I'm not going to water it down to pacify anybody. The truth is, when what we see even happening, sadly, in our military has been happening in our churches. Certain areas of our military is turning our battle-hardened men into wimps. And in this dark hour that we're in, guess what? We need soldiers. Can you say amen? Amen. We need soldiers, not sissies and not wimps and not snowflakes. And for sure, no furries. Do y'all know what a furry is? I was driving home from school the other day with Michelle in the car. And I asked her, she was on her phone. I said, do y'all have any furries at your school? She started laughing at me. Papa, how do you know what a furry is? Well, I said, I may be old, but I'm not dumb. I know what a furry is. She said, well, yes, we do have furries at our school. And there's a lot of them in a lot of the school districts. A furry is a young man or young woman who wants to be identified as an animal, like a cat or a fox or a rabbit. And many school districts, sadly, has allowed them to make noises and to not communicate in English. They don't have to answer your question, but they can go, shh, you know, if they want to do that. You know, if somebody does that to me, if I had a baseball bat about that moment, I'm afraid the Lord would have to hold me back. I'll slap my hand on him, rebuke that devil right there. Woo! Oh, they won't ever open their mouth again except to say Jesus. Amen. You and I need to know that facing the future fearlessly does not mean anything is going to be peaches and cream or that everything is going to be peaches and cream. It doesn't mean that the devil is going to roll over and play dead. He's going to try. Amen. He's going to try to trick you. He's out there. But facing the future fearlessly is about slamming the door to fear. And then having the faith and confidence that no matter what comes or goes, if God be for us, who can be against us? It's about knowing that whatever we go through, God is with us. Isaiah 41 and 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 43 and 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you. God never promised we would not have to go through anything. But He promised us that His presence would go with us and that He would sustain us. He would hold us. One of the first keys then to slamming the door on fear is to know that fear is not just a negative emotion. Fear is actually a spirit, and it can be dealt with, like Brother Danny showed us or told us about. That means that fear is a living personality that is seeking residence in people's lives. You have to resist the fear like you would resist someone trying to break into your house. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear is always lurking and creeping around, trying to gain access to our lives. And listen, you can watch the evening news if you want, but I'm telling you, if you listen to that long enough, you're going to open the door to fear. I love the Apostle Paul and the way he handled fear. When it came for the Apostle Paul to die, history records that he ran to the chopping block. What was Paul doing? He was robbing fear of its power in his life. He was slamming the door on fear. He was treading down fear on the way to his execution. He was saying, you're not taking my life. I'm running to give my life away for the one who gave everything for me, that being Jesus Christ. So let me be honest with you. I don't believe that we're through the shaking yet. I don't believe that we're on the other side of the storm. We're still going to go through some turbulence in the world before the Lord returns for His bride. And this message is not about avoiding the turbulence, but how to ride it out and come on top. Come out on top. No longer shall fear, Lord it over us, but we shall rule over our fears by our faith. Ooh, he don't want me to finish this, but I'm going to finish it today. Let me say that again. No longer shall fear lord it over our lives, but we shall rule over our fears with our faith. No longer shall we be held back by the fear of the past or the fear of the future. And yes, how many know those are biggies in people's lives? Fear of the future. No longer will we live in fear of a disease or a germ or a virus. No longer will we fret over our food supply or toilet paper not having enough or gas prices, because our God supplies all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do we need those things? Absolutely. And we now know more than ever before to get extra of those things whenever we're out at the grocery store. It's a good thing to keep your gas tank full and to have some extra cash on hand. And yes, when you go out, you can expect favor. You ask the Lord, Lord, lead me to the best deals. I promise you, He'll do it. But we will not be slaves to fear. We're slamming the door on fear. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 11 and 12, we find the story of one of David's 30 mighty men, and his name was Shammah. And one day, him and some other folks were gathering the lentils in his pea patch, and a Philistine troop rushed in on them. And all those who were assisting Shammah fled. The Bible tells it. They fled in fear. But the Bible says that Shammah stood in the midst of the ground, his ground, and he defended it. And he slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. One man slammed the door on fear and not only defended his pea patch, but he also slew the enemy that day. Hear me now, our faith in God is not an escape hatch to magically escape our fears. But our faith is actually the endowment of that supernatural grace and power of God to confront our fears and slam the door on our fears and put them where they belong. They're defeated and under our feet. I don't know what's coming next on the world scene. I don't know if there is a nuclear clash in our future. It sure sounds like the powers that are in our country are leaning in that direction. But it doesn't matter because I've closed the door to fear. According to the scriptures, may my times, guess what, is in God's hands. And I understand that there are 365 fear nots in the Bible, one for every day of the year. Every single day you can slam that door shut on fear. God's word then does not promise us that the future will be trouble-free. But it does promise us that the glory of the latter house, Brother Charlie, will be greater than the former glory of the former house. So instead then of talking about the good old glory days gone by and dreading the future, we should be celebrating that we are in those greater glory days and the best is yet to come. Reith, would you come on back up here? One of the greatest ways then to slam the door to fear is to celebrate where we're going. Celebrate where we're going. Celebrate that we have not seen anything yet. Celebrate that God saves His best for last. Celebrate that everything that God has done in the past was just a warm-up for what's coming. Listen, if the Azusa Street Revival and the revival recorded in Wales and in England and the Brownsville Revival were just warm-ups, I can't wait to see, Brother Danny, the main attraction. I know that from a natural perspective, our world is in a mess, but I believe that is proof positive that something big is on the horizon. God is up to something. The enemy may have his plans, but guess what? The creator of the universe has his plans. And I believe that the stage then is being set for a worldwide shaking and revival on a scale that has never been seen before. And I believe this is another reason why the devil is trying to bury us in fear. He's going to come knocking at your door. He wants to distract us then from the greatest move of God that has ever hit this planet. Let's all stand together. Ministers, would you come on down, our ministry team? As I close today, can we determine that as we leave this house today, we're going to slam the door on fear? We're not going to allow it to come in. And we're going to know that our times are in God's hands. Can you say amen? And that we can declare, Brother Tony, that something big is on the horizon. Something that's big is already beginning to stir in our spirits. God is up to something. Therefore, I will face the future fearlessly. And I will not run away in fear. And like Shammah, I too refuse to be a victim of fear and run away and hide. Would you look at somebody and tell them, I refuse to be a victim of fear. Would you say this? I will stand my ground and fight and see a great victory. Would you worship the Lord with a hand clap right now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I did good. It's a minute till 12. Brother Danny can still go have his steak. So he He can eat. He said he's treating everybody at the steak restaurant after church. He said, okay. All right, would you say this with me? I've got a faith declaration. And then look, we're going to open this up. If you know that there is something that you've had to deal with, remember, fear is a breeder. It breeds worry. It breeds anxiety. It breeds despondency. It'll breed despair. It's a killer. And if you know that you've had to deal with some of those things in the past, I'm telling you, we'll take care of it today. God will take care of today. I'll give you a chance here in just a minute to come up, and we're going to pray with you, okay? All right, would you say this with me? It's a faith confession is all it is. In the name of Jesus, I am a believer. I believe God's word. I am what the word says I am. I have what the word says I have. I can do what the word says I can do. So in Jesus' name, I render ineffective every word that I have spoken that has been contrary to the truth of God's word. I am the righteousness of God. I am a new creation. I am an heir of God. And I am a joint heir with Jesus. And since the greater one dwells within me, and that right now faith of God resides within me, I have the victory that overcomes the world. Therefore, I can overcome every situation that arises in my life. I thank you, Lord. I believe it in my heart. I have released it with my mouth. So be it. It will now surely come to pass. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship the Lord again with a hand clap. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, we're going to take just a few moments. We're here right now. Are you honest enough and bold enough just to come down and say, yep, this thing's been, it's been bothering me. It's been knocking at my door. I don't want it to come in. I want that door shut today. Anybody in here, are you honest enough, bold enough to say, yep, that thing's tried. I've worried about my grandchildren long enough. Worried about my children long enough. I turn it over to the Lord. I've worried about my job long enough. We're not going to be long. Not going to be long. I'd be willing to say fear has knocked on everybody's door at one time or the other. What about when you receive that doctor's report? How many know fear can come in? If you open the door to it. The banker. The words of a banker. The words of a lawyer. I'm telling you, it can open the door to fear if you let it. Let's determine today that we're not going to let that door be open. We're going to make sure the door is slammed and know that it has been defeated, that it is under our feet, and that's where it belongs, that it's not going to continue to knock at our door, knock at our heart. We're going to close that door. Quit worrying about your finances. He gives us His word. If you're a tither, if you're a giver, He promises to be right there. He'll rebuke the devourer for our sake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word today. I thank you that we've heard it from the beginning of the service through songs today, through testimony, and through the preached word. Lord, I just ask God that you would just be with us. Lord, just show us. Help us to keep our eyes open and aware when the enemy tries to come into our lives. And that we will not open that door. That door is closed. That we're determined today. That door and everything attached to it, everything attached to that fear, cannot come in. So Lord, I just ask that you would just lead us, guide us, direct our steps this week as we go about our way. Bring us back safely into the house. Lord, and we thank you. I speak blessings of strength and health over your people. Be with them this week. We thank you for favor. Thank you for favor with man. Thank you for favor with deals at the store. Thank you, mighty God. And we're going to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I love you. God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.